Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Millions of people across the country dealing with dangerous cold.
Wind chill alerts across more than 20 states, feeling as cold as 70 degrees below zero in Montana. A powerful blizzard blanketing Des Moines, Iowa in nearly 10 inches of snow and bringing power outages to a snow-covered Milwaukee.
It's ABC's Victor Oquendo in Des Moines, Iowa, where tomorrow's caucuses could be affected by what's expected to be the coldest caucus day on record. Final ABC News Ipsos polls before the caucuses show former President Trump with a significant lead among Republicans. Sources tell ABC News congressional leaders have reached an agreement on a two-tiered short-term funding bill that would keep the government funded through March. South Korea's military said North Korea fired a suspected intermediate-range ballistic missile. It was North Korea's first launch in a year that experts say is likely to see the North ramp up its launches. This is ABC News. Federal regulators are going to look into a rail crossing in Florida that has seen a series of deadly accidents involving a high-speed train.
The latest vehicle-train collision at the same Melbourne-Florida crossing happening on Friday, when officials say the driver of a pickup truck tried to outrun a Brightline high-speed train. The driver and the passenger both killed. This just 2 days after a Brightline train struck an SUV at the same crossing, leaving the driver dead and three others injured. Brightline ran a public safety campaign ahead of launching the new high-speed service last September. Melbourne's mayor says it's time for another aggressive safety campaign. Dave Packer, ABC News.
There have been at least six earthquakes in the last several days near the Oklahoma City suburb of Edmond, Oklahoma. Two of them were greater than magnitude 4. While no injuries or damage have been reported, the Army Corps of Engineers is going to inspect a dam that's used to supply drinking water for the 96,000 people in Edmond. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Eagle 1490 WLCX.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Public health experts say the spread of misinformation on social media is leading to a dangerous drop in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Mike Moan reports.
Surveys show the percentage of Americans who believe vaccines are unsafe has nearly doubled since 2021, as social media users falsely claim approved vaccines cause autism, cancer, and infertility. Dr. Monica Wang says these falsehoods spread faster than the truth with damaging results.
This health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
Wang says social media algorithms are keeping users in so-called information silos, left to discern what is true. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for Wisconsin school children slightly rebounded last year, but remain well below pre-pandemic levels. Studies show misinformation regarding the COVID-19 vaccine has cost the U.S. up to $300 million a day in healthcare and economic losses since 2021. It's also contributed to an estimated 300,000 preventable deaths of unvaccinated individuals. With COVID-19 cases still circulating, Wang says scientists can also use social media to create health content and regain the public's trust.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
Wang says social media users should look for health information from established medical institutions institutions and avoid content making sensational medical claims. And she says, when in doubt, don't share information that lacks scientific credentials. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory for today as wind chills will get as cold as 20 and 25 degrees below zero. A mostly cloudy sky, we should spend pretty much all day long below zero. West winds will be gusty. For the overnight, mostly cloudy, near 10 below. Currently 7 degrees below zero.
The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Empowered Caregiver.
The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, I will be talking with Tim Markle of The Forgiveness Factors. Tim's teachings are based on the work of Dr. Robert Enright, the father of forgiveness research. Forgiveness means different things to different people, but in general, it involves the intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. Anger. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that allows you to focus on yourself and helps you go on with life. So you may be asking, why would I want to talk about forgiveness in a show that is meant to support, educate, advocate, and celebrate family caregivers? And my answer to that question is that for many, caregiving is an emotional journey. Whether you're caring for aging parents, a disabled child, or a loved one that's fallen ill, in addition to figuring out and managing the care for that person, you also have to figure out and manage a wide range of emotions that comes along with caregiving. And I see forgiveness as a tool in the caregiver's toolbox. For me personally, my caregiving role had kind of opened a Pandora's box of mental health challenges, from childhood trauma to trying to care for another human being while wrestling the obstacles of having ADHD myself. And so I hope that not everyone's struggle was like mine. But regardless, I don't think that you can go through the caregiving experience without feeling this wide range of emotions. You know, feelings like guilt, frustration, anger, the word that I can now say, and hopelessness are all emotions that creep into our caregiving journey. And the fact that we even feel these can lead to shame. So now not only are we stuck in these not so desirable emotions, we also feel ashamed of ourselves for even having them. In my opinion, I feel like we can't work through these emotions without some level of forgiveness for ourselves and others. So I absolutely cannot wait to talk to Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor about how forgiveness can empower caregivers on their caregiving journey. Welcome, Tim, and thank you so much for joining me tonight.
I am so excited to be here, Liza. That was a beautiful setup, and I cannot agree with you more. As a caregiver myself, the journey has been one that has been surprising at times, has been angry producing at times, and has been wonderful at times. And it just, forgiveness is one of those ways that I've learned to, like you were saying, deal with the past as well as what's going on today so that I can live better in the future.
I love that. And you know, Tim, I sent you a long list of forgiveness scenarios, such as how do you forgive someone who hasn't or won't say that they're sorry? What do you do when someone has apologized, but you are struggling to forgive them? Some of the other ones, how do you forgive someone who's no longer with us? And what do you do when you are seeking forgiveness from someone who is not willing to forgive you? And then, of course, the caregiving example above. How do we forgive sometimes ourselves? So I cannot wait to hear your answers to these questions. But first, can you tell me a little bit about what the forgiveness factor is?
Sure. So many years ago, starting in around 2014, is I was finishing up a master's program, and I was given the choice of do you want to write a paper, do research and write paper? And I'm like, oh, that sounds really boring. That's just not me. So what happens to this awesome paper that I write in there? Well, it usually gets bound and we'll put it on a shelf. I'm like, that does not sound good. Is there any other options? And they're like, well, you can do what's called a capstone project. So I was working through my own journey of forgiveness with my dad and trying to figure out, is this forgiveness thing real outside of the faith background that I was a part of? Is there any scientific evidence to forgiveness? Are there ways to learn how to forgive? Can we learn how to forgive? Because a lot of people I've talked to are just like me. They grew up knowing that forgiveness is good, and people tell you you should forgive, and sometimes you feel guilty if you don't forgive, and you really want to, but nobody ever sat down and taught me how. Are there steps? Are there ways? Are there things that I could think about? Are there ways that I can change about the way that I'm looking at the world, the way that I look at myself, that could lead me to forgiveness? And so I looked at my faith background and I looked at the scientific evidence for forgiveness, and I wanted to see where those two overlapped. And that's when I put together the first curriculum of Freedom Through Forgiveness. And I presented it to a small group of church friends that I knew, and then someone at Stoughton Hospital heard about it, and someone over there heard about it, and someone at this conference heard about it. And I started to see that there was this real hunger for forgiveness, for learning how to forgive, for dealing with the stuff that we have inside of us, not just ignoring it and not just pretending it's not there, but honestly dealing with it. And so out of that is we came up with Forgiveness Factor. Forgiveness Factor is this vehicle, this vessel, that you will, that I use to talk about forgiveness and mental health. I talk about how to forgive and what I'm seeing as an unforgiving world. I have been fortunate enough to go to conferences in Wisconsin, in Oklahoma City. We're just in Chicago this last year. And I do this with the support of Dr. Enright and the International Forgiveness Institute. The way that I like to talk about it is Dr. Enright and the International Forgiveness Institute, they're over in Israel. They're over in Ireland. They're at these hot spots where there are just long-standing dissension and long-standing anger. And they are working on trying to raise up children in schools to learn how to forgive. I'm fortunate enough that I get to do that in Wisconsin, and I get to do that in the places that I get invited to. But it's all about coming to that point of saying what I am doing with my anger, with my resentments, the way I am dealing with it, with life, isn't working anymore. It's frustrating me. It's hurting me. It's hurting my family. I'm continuing down a road that I don't want to go down, but no one has showed me how to change my direction. So I really see forgiveness as one of those things where people sit there and say, you know, I've tried all these things and it's not working. Maybe forgiveness is something I can try.
I love that. And I'm thinking it's kind of sad that for some, you know, me included, sometimes forgiveness is your last ditch effort. should be your first, right?
Well, if we, and you got to think though, when have you been taught about forgiveness? How much forgiveness do you see in the world? How much of the day do you hear stories about people forgiving each other and how to forgive each other and being taught about the inherent worth of each other and that we can forgive that person because they're a person? I think we have a lot of messages that really contradict that. So it's really hard to get to that point of forgiveness instead of being stuck with revenge.
I'm curious, what is your definition of forgiveness, or what does forgiveness mean to you?
Sure. So I'm going to use the definition that I use when I teach with Dr. Enright. And what he says is that forgiveness, when we forgive, we willingly and deliberately offer goodness to those who have been unfair to us. So the bad news is, it starts with pain. It starts with unfairness. Is when we've been unfairly hurt, we react. It's very natural. Everybody does it. Sometimes we react in ways that result in anger or result in resentments growing up. And so when we look at forgiveness, we say, okay, I've been unhurt. I've reacted to this hurt, and it's not necessarily in a healthy way. So I am going to make a decision that I am going to forgive someone, that I am going to look at what happened, and instead of returning anger and returning hurt for that initial hurt, I'm going to try to get to the point where I can offer them goodness. And in doing that, we change the way that we interact with them. We change the way we interact with the world. We can feel this weight that's lifted off of us because we're no longer dragging along all this pain and all this anger that we've built up over the years.
Well, and speaking of that pain and anger, I feel like that is something that can become hardwired in you. So to make the conscious choice to forgive is going to take some effort. And I would assume it's not one and done, right?
Absolutely.
I forgive you.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely correct. And it does get hardwired into us. And then it gets reinforced by the messages of the world around us. And sometimes it gets reinforced by our own families. Everybody agrees with us that Aunt whoever is, that person that you don't invite to Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. People may not ever remember why, but you just know that that aunt isn't that they did something. And we pass on that anger from generation to generation. And so it can get built in. And so it takes a very deliberate effort to dig it out and to consciously change the way that we're reacting.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I'm talking with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. Tim is helping me understand the importance of forgiving in the caregiver's journey. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tim about how we deal with some of the challenging forgiveness scenarios, like how to forgive someone who has no intentions of apologizing, and how to forgive someone when you really, really do not want to. And lastly, how forgiving yourself is essential to caregiving.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Empowered Caregiver.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I am talking with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor about the power behind forgiveness. Tim, Fred Rogers, as in the beloved Mr. Rogers, once said, "Forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love." Tim, growing up, Mr. Rogers was, I swear, one of the most logical voices of reason that I had in my life. So please don't tell me that he's wrong on this. Can you speak to that quote? "It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love."
Absolutely. As with most things, Mr. Rogers had it absolutely correct. And I will tell you, you know, personal story is I am one of the fortunate people that when I graduated with my bachelor's in psychology from Bowling Green State University, one of our commencement speakers was Fred Rogers.
Shut the front door.
I am serious. So he comes out, he goes up to the stage, and everybody in the stadium, because it was an outdoor thing, starts singing, "Will You Be My Neighbor?" It was one of the best experiences. He gave one of the best keynotes. He seemed to be as real and honest and loving as he came across on TV when I was growing up. It was one of my best experiences that I've had.
Lucky you. Lucky you. Well, how did he get this one right?
Well, he got this one exactly right because of the fact that when we get hurt, we build up some defenses against the people that have hurt us. And that's really natural. And if the people that hurt us, if we had the expectations that they were going to care for us, that we believed that they were going to have our best interests at heart, and then it turns out they didn't, that they neglected us, they abused us, they let us down, then that's a much deeper hurt than someone who just cuts us off on the highway, than a stranger who says an insensitive comment. We don't have these expectations of caring and these expectations of safety with strangers than we do as we do with our family and with our friends. And so it's like that wound is it's a very different kind of wound when you are expecting safety and you're hurt. Mm-hmm. In enemy scenarios, you kind of are expecting that they don't have your best interests at heart, but you want your family to be on your side. And it really hurts when it turns out somebody's not on your side and they don't have your best interest.
And that has to add another layer of difficulty, because you're right. There are unfortunate situations in this world where the people we love intentionally hurt us. And there are many situations, I feel, in this world where the people that we love unintentionally hurt us.
Oh, absolutely. And that comes back to the whole job of being a caregiver, is that we have this job of watching out and protecting someone that needs our support. And gosh, it's so much easier to do that when the other people around us, our family, our friends, are supporting us. It's a lot harder to do that when it feels like they're attacking, or they're not understanding, or they're making it more difficult, or they're constantly asking, "Well, why'd you do that? Well, if you only did this," and offering these suggestions that may come from a place of care and concern, but they're hitting more like punches than hugs. And so sometimes it doesn't matter that the heart may be there, but if they're still being unreasonable, if they're still not listening, if they're still not understanding, if they're still not giving the person that we're caring about the benefit of the doubt and giving us the support and the emotional help that we need, it hurts.
Yeah. And it can come at you at a lot of different angles. I mean, I think you had touched on the person that you're caring for themselves can be nasty to you and hurtful. And that leads to a whole range of emotions when all you're doing is trying to care for them. And then you have other family and friends that are weighing in as well. And their intentions may be good, but like you said, it comes as a punch, not a hug. So thank you for addressing that. And, you know, as I was preparing for this interview, I was trying to think of some of the most challenging forgiveness scenarios just to see how well you know your stuff.
So, oh, thanks. I love hot cookies. Not. If you're able to get those values out, you're not going to deal with this person, and that's working for you, then cool. Go for it. But what I see is that you make a tender against that kind of person, you sink you the rest of our lives, and you start to fill up with that negativity.
I wonder who wrote that. That's Lee Adams and Charlie Strauss, a couple of Broadway composers. Oh, let's see. I was going to tell you something about stereo. Yeah, the Sun Valley Serenades in stereo. It wasn't intended to be that way, but we are in stereo on FM. Yeah, two-channel. That was recorded with two microphones, and they didn't intend to make it two-channel, but those recordings are now stereo. 1941. Is that the first time?
That we're looking at the world.
Here's Bing Crosby, the music of the stars. Thanks for being here.
Sit there and say, that's not my
value. We're statewide.
That's not what I want.
On the Civic Media Radio Network.
Then we need to find a way to return to our values. And one way to do that is to be working on forgiving that person so that we can really not.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern.
So it's a tavern.
We used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours. Think of all the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. For we were young and sure to have our way. Tonight I stood before the tavern. Nothing seemed the way it used to be. In the glass I saw a strange reflection. Was that lonely fella really me? Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. Those were the days, oh yes, those were the days. and heard you call my name. Oh, my friend, we're older, but no wiser. 'Cause in our hearts the dreams are still the same. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. Those were the days, oh yes, those were the days.
A lesson learned for the Bucks. I'm Mike Collins reports. Milwaukee Bucks have one of the best teams in the NBA this year, but recently they went through a slump in four of their last five games. They all hit rock bottom, and they lost to the Jazz at home. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
And I thought we learned from the Utah game, you know, the threes that we were giving up. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
Then a few nights later, the Bucks turned things around.
Now the busy years go rushing by us.
32 points.
We lost our starry notion on the way. If by chance I see you in the tavern, we'll smile at one another and we'll say, those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. Those were the days. Oh yes, those were the days.
Bing Crosby. I don't know who that band is, but I got some information about stereo. It seems like Walt Disney invented stereo. Now, I'll tell you about that in just a bit. Carol O'Connor, you heard him earlier. Well, did you know he wrote that ending theme of All in the Family? In fact, here he does it as a solo. Sonny Bono introduces him. Carol O'Connor, did you know he was in the Ten Commandments? Not Sonny, Carol O'Connor.
Gentlemen, Mr. Carol O'Connor.
I think by now most of you know the opening theme of All in the Family, but I don't know if many of you have taken much notice of a very nice closing theme we have. And I didn't notice it for a couple of weeks after beginning my show, and I did notice it, and I asked my friend Roger Kellaway, who composed the music, if I could have permission to do a lyric to it, and he said fine. So I wrote the lyric to it, and the title of it is Remembering You. And it's our pleasure, Rogers and mine, to do this, words and music, for you tonight. Got a feeling it's all over now. All over now, we're through. And tomorrow I'll be lonesome, remembering you.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Got a feeling the sun will.
You're listening to a
recorded
episode of the Impact Caregiver.
They may not even know that they did anything wrong.
Tony Rhodes.
They may not care that this is burdening them, that it's really.
And by the way, Gene Stapleton really.
They may not know. They may not
pretty
care.
Well, too. Here she is.
But they have all that power. That money.
From the Broadway musical, Sound of Music, Rodgers and Hammerstein's simple statement of faith and perseverance.
Gene Stapleton.
I am going to live in this moment.
And stepping up to the plate.
Stay tied to the past. And so
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Look at forgiveness. It's not what the other person is doing or has done. It's what am I going to do with it? That's a big one because sometimes we think, you know, if you're like me, you grew up with this thing. You were taught that forgiveness was something that's in your mind. They came and they said, I'm sorry. Your response was, I forgive you. And then you continued on with it. That's the way I go. And it's just not true. It's not forgiveness. Because we get stuck with them. Why are you doing that? Person never says, I'm sorry.
Nothing about the
most fun I've ever had in show business was finding a song called I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And here's a kind of abstract song to explain how it feels when you visit there. It isn't far to Hushabye Mountain, and your boat waits down by the quay. The winds of night so softly are silent. Soon they will fly your troubles to sea. So close your eyes on Hushabye Mountain. From Hushabye Mountain, sail far away from Lullaby Bay.
Statewide now on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome. And we're worldwide at WRJN.com.
What are my values and how is this situation rubbing against me?
Hazardous. Not all over, but enough.
That
would take you by surprise. Be careful.
That I could say about them. And I want peace and happiness in my life. But I got the stubbornness. This no can do. And I'm reflecting on it. Like, what the heck? Why am I so stuck?
He's talking about Walt Disney inventing stereo.
Step to getting unstuck.
No, he didn't sit down.
That also sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like it'd make a great Dr.
With Fantasia,
Seuss book.
1940.
And that is. You hit on one of the things that we talk about is the sense of you get stuck in the way that you get stuck in the way that something would like a small or sound and you
for Fantasia with Leopold Stokowski and the Disney engineers. They broke new ground with what they called Fantasound, multi-track.
Okay, was there something that happened right
first film with stereophonic sound?
Instead of going back to zero, can I go back to where I was at four? Can I
by the way, that wasn't recorded in California, except for the Sorcerer's Apprentice with Mickey Mouse. No, it was recorded in the Philadelphia Academy of Music.
Maybe I could see that I'm
96 speakers, 9 microphones.
I just found myself there. And so I had to walk back to find out what was it like when I was unstuck. what is that first indication that I'm heading to Stockdale, if you prefer, Stockdale. And I'm heading to Stockdale. And then, so I can only start where I'm at with the country and stuff. And so then I have to work my way back.
I finally saw Fantasia at the Times Theater in Milwaukee.
The fact that forgiveness can go along with boundaries. Forgiveness does not say that we allow everybody to come into our life to hurt us.
The music of the stars.
No,
Lincoln Center
is strength
in New York,
is setting those
with the home of Tony Bennett's last performances.
I'm not going to hate
because
of that,
iPhone
because
15.
That's not my
that
view.
Amazing
I'm
camera,
you
my family outcome.
Zoe, you're an action
but
star.
I'm not going to let you in to hurt me. I'm not going to allow you to hurt me. I'm not going to allow you to hurt me. That's not going to happen. I will set the boundaries in my life. So that I and my family is on it. It's boundaries and forgiveness for your life.
Well, that's an excellent point. So narrowly on what forgiveness is, maybe I need to be a little more clear about what forgiveness isn't. And you said forgiveness isn't allowing yourself to be a girl, it's still.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows.
Goes back to forgiveness is not that formula of they say I'm sorry.
Good office to once new better words, now only useful letter words. Writing prose, anything goes. The world has gone mad today, if it's bad today.
A day's night today, a black's white today.
The most guys today, the woman cries today.
A just silly jiggle.
And though I'm not a great romancer,
I know you're bound to answer when we propose.
Anything goes, go,
go.
Someone just respects me. I allow the right to have that. And so I not only have to be careful what's going on inside, but I also have to be careful what I'm looking to do outside and what I'm looking to do inside. And so for forgiveness, it's not just deciding that, oh, I'm going to end
it. It's bad today.
A day's night today.
And black's white today.
And most guys today, the women cries today. A just silly gigolo.
And though we're not such great romancers, we know that without an answer when we propose. Anything goes.
Away.
Great
so
movie about
back,
the music of Cole Porter, and it starred Kevin Kline and Ashley Judd. It's 2004. Here's
and
Kevin.
I will be asking Tim what that means and what that the looks music of the like, star. As well as the benefits that forgiveness has on your overall health and well being.
With you, even without you, my arms fold about you. You know, darling, why so in love with you. The night mysterious, the night when you first were there, in love with my joy.
Wait. You all right? A few people may have been carried out of my shells, but no one's ever been carried in.
Deceive me, desert me, I'm yours till I die. So in love, so
picture is lovely.
You're
highly recommended.
To a recorded episode of The Empowered Caregiver.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined here today with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. Tim, I have so many more questions for you and not enough time. So we're going to do speed round. Situation is I have a son with autism. It doesn't make sense for me to say I forgive my son for having autism and turning my world upside down. You know, others might be caring for parents who, quite frankly, they don't get along with, or a spouse that was diagnosed with the illness that's going to require all hands on deck. Does forgiveness fit into any of these situations?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. So I too have a son with autism, and it has turned my life upside down. And I don't know to forgive him or autism, but I do forgive him. When he does something that hurts me, because I remember who he is, I remember that he has worth, and then I act lovingly toward him. Now, do I do that 100% of the time? No, because I also make mistakes. I also have bad days. And that's the other thing, is when I'm
in love with my
person, I still need to do my best. I still need to keep myself healthy and all things and keep my life balanced. Because it's when I'm living that life that I'm more likely to forget, that I'm likely to have the energy to forgive. Whereas if I'm living in this chaos and surrounded by they give us negativity.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. You got to put your oxygen mask on yourself first and take care of yourself. I know at the beginning of the show, I said that caregivers sometimes struggle with feelings like guilt, frustration, anger, hopelessness. All
Ellen
of these
Klein,
emotions that can create
the lovely 2004.
And the fact
these
that
are the four lads. This is the music of this time.
So
statewide on the Civic Media Radio Network. WRJN.
How forgiveness can play into this.
Look at our past, not as the view of, oh,
kids from Toronto.
I can't get better. I've done everything wrong.
Cole Porter.
Our past from the former
it
years,
just doesn't get any better.
I'm going to make mistakes.
Elvis Gerald.
Everybody's made mistakes, but that doesn't define my.
The music of the stars.
That is not.
I feel a sudden urge to sing. The kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So control your desire to curse while I crucify the verse. This verse I've started seems to me the ten antitheses of melody. So to spare you all the pain, I'll skip the darn thing and sing the refrain. The night is young, the skies are clear, and if you wanna go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, 'cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilemma, it's deluxe, it's delovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's delimit, it's deluxe, it's delovely.
Find out where I'm producing next, where I do regular broadcasts, all sorts of information available.
Time has come, it's very clear.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I truly appreciate it, and you made me a better person. Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll understand the reasons why. For once you drive it, you'll want to buy. It's delightful, it's lovely, it's adorable. You can tell at a glance that this swell car is far in advance. You can hear that great big engine murmuring low. There to go, so make sure you see and drive the new DeSoto. I'm man alive. It's delightful, it's lovely, it's delirious, it's the living, and it's the latest, it's the limit, it's the luck.
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us.
Music of the Star. Wonder if they paid for that, for those rights. All right, let's take a break. Update on news and, yeah, weather. Hey, so all seriousness aside, it's almost spring. I told you it's not serious. Stand by for more on the Music of the Stars.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.